And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, "Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of the whole earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Amen.
The title of today's message is, "But God Came Down." But God came down. And I pray that this message may touch your heart as it touched mine, and that we may, at the end of this message, reflect our own hearts and search deeply within our hearts what Jesus Christ is trying to say to us. And so before we start, actually, how many of you brought your Bibles today? Amen. Amen. We are a people of the book. That's what we are known for. So let us share this book with the person next to us. If that person does not have a Bible, I pray that you may cozy up. It's a little cold in Elmira, but it's okay. Get next to someone that you know, or even if you don't know, share the Word of God, because here we are a family. Amen. We are a family, and we care for one another. And so, before we start, I want to say a little prayer to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us into His truth. Also, you need to have your Bibles today, because I'm going to show you something really interesting in Scripture. Maybe you haven't seen it before. I'm going to teach you something different that you probably haven't known before, and it's going to be very interesting. You're going to look at the Bible maybe differently. I don't know. I love it, because I'm a nerd in Scripture, and I love looking for these things. So maybe you might think that I'm going a little overboard, but I want to show you what I find interesting in Scripture. So let's bow our heads and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us. Father in heaven, Lord, we're so thankful. Another day of life. Lord, we're so thankful that we are here this morning, this Sabbath morning, on your day. There are many people, and the tragedy that happened in Paris, Lord, and in different areas of the world, many people did not even make it to this Sabbath. And Lord, we did. And that begs the question, why are they gone and why are we still here? Lord, the reason I believe we are still here is because there is a great work to be done in our lives right now. And I pray, Father, that you may use us, that you may guide us, that you may protect us, that you may instruct us. And Father, I pray ultimately that you may be with us this morning. Guide us into your truth. Reveal to our hearts what we need to know. And tailor make this message to every single person here, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. All right. So, what's the title of the message? But God Came Down. Thank you, Deb. But God Came Down. On New Year's Day, in the Tournament of Roses parade, a beautiful float suddenly sputtered and quit. It was out of gas. The whole parade was held up until someone could get a can of gas. The amusing thing was that this float represented the Standard Oil Company. With its vast oil resources, its own truck was out of gas. We often like to build lofty floats that can be noticed by everyone around us. I would like to call these lofty floats the towers of our life. The what? The towers of our life that we parade down the road. And those towers of our life can be the accomplishments that we have done throughout our life. Those towers in our life could be the acknowledgement from people around us. Those towers in our life could be our physical health. Sometimes these towers can be anything that stands in the way of fully experiencing God's love. Those towers can be our unchristlike attitude towards other people when we leave the sanctuary. Our towers could be our selfishness, trying to hoard things for ourselves and never helping the community around us. And that could also lead to not volunteering in this community and serving others in the community. And as Christians, we like to come to church and make everyone else around us believe that we are strong Christians. And so we put up this facade, hoping that no one will notice when we sit behind the pews. And we are advertising ourselves as an oil company, but we ourselves are out of gas. The good thing about all this is when we start building these towers up in our life that separate us from God, God intervenes. God gives us a warning that the pathway we are going is leading to a desolate and dry land. Genesis 11, verse 1. The Bible says, "Now, the whole earth had one language and one speech." You see, linguists put the best estimate of total current languages at 6,909 distinct languages. And according to the Wall Street Journal, by 2115, it's possible that only about 600 of those languages will be left on the planet, as opposed to 6,000. And it's very difficult to have a conversation with somebody that doesn't speak your language, is it not? I have a neighbor who's Ukrainian, or from the Ukraine, and she speaks Ukrainian. And she loves her dog. So every time we come outside and we walk our dog, she looks at the dog and she shakes her head yes, and she says, "Nice, nice." And that is about the conversation that we have. We can't have a full-out conversation because she doesn't understand and I don't understand Ukrainian. So it's very difficult to try to get things done, to try to communicate with one another. But imagine that the earth, 7 billion people, were all able to speak the same language. Imagine how much the world could get done if we are able to comprehend each other and not need to use a translator. Imagine that. Imagine the power that we would have. Genesis 11, verse 2, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there." You see, this was after the time of the flood, and there were still faithful people in the mountains of Ararat. This is where the ark rested. And this is where the population boomed. And as the population grew, there were some people that decided they didn't want to stay in the mountains of Ararat. They didn't want to stay with the faithful of God's chosen people in the mountains of Ararat. So they decided that they would journey from the east and go to the land of Shinar and dwell there. They not only wanted to leave God's faithful people, but they wanted to rebel against God. These scoffers and rebels wanted to move from God's presence. They didn't want to be near God any longer, so they journeyed by themselves. And so in Genesis 11, verse 3, the Bible says, "Then they," these are the people who are journeyed from the east, "said to one another, 'Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly.' They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar, and they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a what? A city. Let us build ourselves a city and a what? A tower that reaches where? Into the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth.' So, Do you understand, or do you know the first city that was ever built in the Bible? It was built by Cain. Cain was the first person to ever build a city in the Bible. And Cain named the city after his son Enoch. And so Cain built this first city. And remember what Cain did, the sin that Cain did in the beginning. He killed his brother. You guys remember that, correct? What did God say to Cain? What curse did he put upon Cain? He would be a vagabond upon the earth. And it was too hard for Cain to bear, so God put a stamp on him that if anybody were to see him, they wouldn't kill him, right? And so Cain decided that, you know what? Let me take matters into my own hands. Instead of being a vagabond upon the earth and having to travel from city to city and place to place, let me build myself a city. And let me name it after my son, Enoch. Because in a city, there are people. And if you are the founder of that city, you are protected by the people. And so the people wanted to protect now Cain. And Cain knew that if he built a city, he would find security in the people. And we find an advantage of bringing people together to accomplish a goal. And this is exactly what these men decided to do. They wanted to leave God and build themselves a city to be a metropolis of the world. They wanted everybody to come in awe to this city. And they also not only built a city, but they built a tower. And this tower was to reach into the heavens. And its purpose was to reach into the heavens. And why? Well, for two reasons. First, because there was a flood. In Genesis chapter 7, verse 19, the Bible says, "The floods did not reach above the heavens, but it reached every mountain underneath the heavens." So these people were thinking, if we moved from the mountains of Ararat and we decided to build ourselves a city with a tower that reached into the heavens, the flood couldn't reach that high because it reached underneath the heavens. So if another flood came, we would be protected by the flood. Second reason they built a tower to reach the heavens was so that if they built the tower and it reached the heavens, maybe, just maybe, they could understand the cause of the flood to stop it from ever happening again. So they built this tower. And this was ultimate control at its best. Trying to take control of the outcomes of their lives. Trying to take control of the future. It was easier for these men to spend their lives trying to build up their tower so that they may feel secure in the working of their own hands. And my question for us today is, how many of us are trying to find security in building ourselves our own towers? Geico sent me homeowners insurance the other day. And I looked at their information and their different policies that they had, ranging from the home to cars to ATVs. I'd like to say that their rates are a little high, but having insurance is something that is good. Amen? Having insurance is good. It protects us from loss. Having insurance makes us feel safe and secure. And we like to have an insurance policy just in case something goes wrong. But let me tell you, family, that there is an insurance policy that has already been paid. There is an insurance policy that is fully reliable. And there is an insurance policy that will not raise your rates because of an accident. The greatest and best insurance policy is to fully trust upon God through your weaknesses. Let your insecurities be fully covered by God's ultimate faithfulness. That is our insurance policy. But the question is, where is your tower today? Where is your tower today? You see, the motivating factor for building this tower for these men was found in this verse, Genesis 11, verse 4. The Bible says, "And they said, 'Come, Let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. And let us make a what? I can't hear you. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered over the face of the whole earth. So these men built this tower for three specific reasons. One, just in case another flood happened, they would be safe. It was their insurance policy. Two, if they build this tower into the heavens, maybe they could understand how to stop the next flood from happening. Three, and the most influential motivating factor was so that they could make a name for themselves. This tower, if it reached into the heavens and you were to walk and see that this tower was, the height of it was taller than the heavens and the clouds were around it, would surely bring fame and honor from everybody who comes in awe to see it. In Genesis 12, we have the call of Abraham. Genesis 12, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your what? Make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." You see, when we in humility give our plans to God, He will lift us up. He will make your name great. You do not need to make your name great yourself. And having your name great does not necessarily just mean wealth, popularity, or success. Rather, it means being great in the sight of God. Being called least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than being called great in the world. Being called least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than being called great in the world. But where is your tower today? Where is your tower? Is it pride? Be careful, because when our pride is lifted up, that is when the Lord starts coming down. In Genesis 11:5, the Bible starts off with saying, after these men are building this tower, Genesis 11:5, the Bible says, the title of our message today is what? But the Lord came down. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. This is the central point of this entire passage. It's not that the men built a tower. It's not the Tower of Babel. The central point of this passage is, but the Lord came down. You see, this passage is built on what's called a chiasm. Have you ever heard of a chiasm before? A chiasm is a list of items or ideas or events structured in the Bible in such a manner that the first item parallels the last item, and the second item parallels the second to the last item, so on, and it points to the central point in Scripture. That's a chiasm. It's found all throughout Scripture. There's a chiasm in Genesis 1 where God creates and then He fills. And you'll notice this chiasm in Genesis 11, pointing to the exact central key point of the passage, but the Lord came down. Let me show you. If you have your Bibles, or if you have anybody that's right next to you, open your Bibles up and look in Scripture. And we'll look in Scripture together. Genesis 11:1, the first point is the whole world. Do you guys see that? Genesis 11:9, the Bible says, the whole world. You guys see that? Genesis 11:1 again. The whole world had one language. Genesis 11:9, but the Lord confused the language. Genesis 11:2, they went to Shinar and settled there. Genesis 11:9, Babel, because there. Genesis 11:3, come, let us make bricks. Genesis 11:7, instead of making bricks, God comes down and says, come, let us confuse their language. Genesis 11:4, come, let us build. Genesis 11:5, the people were building. Genesis 11:4, a city and a tower. Genesis 11:5, to see the city and tower. And then between that, we have, but the Lord came down. The entire passage is focused on what these men were doing and how the Lord came down. When our plans are to build and make a name for ourselves, the Lord ultimately will come down and confuse our plans. He ultimately will come down and confuse our plans because the God of the heavens would love you to understand that He is your great and mighty tower. But where is your tower today? Where is your tower today? Is it success? Is it that you want to build a name for yourself in the community or even in the church? Where is your tower? You see, I'm here to encourage you today that it is okay to build yourself a tower. It is okay to build yourself a tower. As a matter of fact, build yourself a tower, the greatest tower that you can build, and make this tower reach into the heavens. But do not let this tower be founded on pride or the workings of your own hand. Make this tower to be Jesus Christ. Let Him be the pillar of your life. And do not let the distractions of the world cause you to try to build security for yourself. Build your tower so that in any situation, Christ Jesus can and will deliver you. We see what happens when we try to build a tower without God. The Bible says, but the Lord came down. You see, there will come a time when we have been building our lives so much that we have forgotten that it was Christ trying to get our attention all of these years. What is amazing about God is that He will not allow us to continue going on to the path of destruction without first giving us a revelation of Himself. The Bible says that God came down to those who built the tower, and God will also come down in our lives today. And so the question I always get is, when God comes down, does He intend to destroy us or hurt us? But God came down. You see, the wording for God coming down in this passage could have easily resulted in God destroying these men. They were going against God. They were trying to fall away from God. They were trying to move away from God. They didn't want God in their life. God could have easily said, "That's your choice. Let me now destroy you, confuse your plans, and that you never exist." You see, God didn't do that. God gave them a strong rebuke to stop building the tower right in its tracks. Then He came down to confuse the language so that they would not go on with their plans any further. And this is the ultimate misconception that we have about God, that when we do wrong, God is out to destroy us. God is out to destroy us when we do wrong. For these men, wickedness had not reached to a point of no return. Therefore, God intervened to prevent them from going any farther. And this shows us a side of God that we must understand. There are times when sin has reached its full measure and God must bring justice. And then there are times when God scourges His children. And God had scattered these men. And the point to be taken is when God scourges us, it's to get us to repent. It's to get us to turn away from what we've been doing because we're going down the wrong path. And you see, sometimes scourging is light. Sometimes scourging is light, but it gets the message across. And other times, scourging is painful because that is the only way, the only method that can get our attention. C.S. Lewis wrote, "God whispers through pleasures, but shouts through pain." For these men, God was sending them a message that the pathway they were going was a pathway of destruction. Let me tell you a short story, and then we'll be finished here. Luther Warren. He was invited to speak at a meeting in Jamaica. He was a great evangelist and a great instructor. And he was to demonstrate to the students in Jamaica of theology, the students of theology, how to run an evangelistic meeting. And so the students were anxious to participate, anxious to hear him speak, and anxious to learn from him and to preach the gospel more successfully by learning from him. And so the local leaders had advised him that when he comes, that he needed to teach the students. And so they wanted the seasoned evangelist to train their students how to preach a sermon every night and stick to the subject every night. And then every night, as the subject progresses, at the last night, it comes to fruition. And the students were to learn from this evangelist. So the opening night comes. The evangelist steps on stage, and there was a buzz of activity in the air. The students are anxious to hear him preach. And he walked into the platform, and Luther began to deliver his message. But contrary to the instruction given, he did everything unconventionally. Rather than sticking with one subject, he moved to every single subject in one night. This was a seasoned evangelist. And besides this, he did something very unusual that first night. He made an altar call the first night for baptism. The very first night, as a pastor, you don't make an altar call the first night. No one's going to respond. But he made an altar call. And hundreds of people came forward to dedicate their lives to Christ. So, filled with mixed feelings, the leaders come up to Luther and they ask him, "Why did you do that? Why would you do that? This was not part of the plan for the instructions for the students." Then Luther said, "I don't know. Something seemed to take over me. It seemed like I was compelled to do it. I was not in control." That night, as they went to sleep, and while the city slept, the answer came. A terrible earthquake shook that city that night. Many who had come forward that night to dedicate their lives to Christ had died. Little did they know that these people were going to hear the very last altar call that God was going to give them. And luckily for them, they responded to this altar call by giving their lives to Christ. You see, God will always give us a revelation of himself. How important is it to keep God the pillar of our life? How important is it to make God the strong and mighty tower in our life? When our pride is lifted up and the world takes its attention off of God and starts building security for themselves with their own hands, God will come down. God will come down to give us a warning. My question for you today is, if Jesus were to appear here in this sanctuary, could you confidently look into his eyes and say, "You are my strong and mighty tower. You are the pillar of my life"? Or would you look into his eyes and not find a tower in him at all, because you have not put him at the center stage of your life? My hope for you today is that you would be the first person to be able to look into Jesus' eyes and say, "You have been my strong and mighty tower. I have loved you, and I have known you, and I have recognized your voice all these years." I pray that this may be your experience. But as we bow our heads and as we close our eyes this morning, as we bow our heads and as we close our eyes, I want to make that appeal and that altar call that this man made. But everybody must bow their heads and they must close their eyes. If you are that person who says, yes, I have made God the pillar of my life, and I have made God that strong and mighty tower, I want you to say a little prayer in your heart to thank God for keeping you on the right and narrow path. But for those as well who want to say, no, I have not made God that strong and mighty tower in my life. I have not asked God to do that. I have not made God throughout my life and my experience here on earth. God has not been that tower in my life, but I want Him to be. I want Him to be that tower in my life. And the same people who say, yes, I've been going to church, but I want to make Him more of a pillar in my life, I want you to raise your right hand. Yes, I want God to be that pillar in my life. God sees your hand. Amen. Amen. Bow your heads with me as we pray. Father in heaven, you see the hands that were raised. Lord, we want to make you the pillar, the mighty tower of our life. Lord, we ask that you take away anything that is separating us from you, that you take away all of the pain and the hurt that we've experienced in life, that the devil threw at us and said, look what God has done to you. And we take that pain and know that you are shouting to us to draw back to you, to draw near to your throne. Lord, I ask for every single individual here, as we continue our lives, that we will build our lives around you. Find security in Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, Lord, for hearing and answering our prayer. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.